Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, when you're a skeptic, how do you explain when paranormal things happen to you?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Share your real ghost stories with us. It's super easy. Just call them in at 855-853-4802. If you prefer to write, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon's here today.
I am. You know, it's not often that I get to watch Poltergeist live on TV.
You're watching.
And I have been for the last several days with the Chicago Cubs. I cannot believe the shit that's happening. Like, it's paranormal. It has to be a poltergeist. Am I right?
Well, you and I keep texting during games. And I'm like, they are making the weirdest mistakes.
Like, they're weird mistakes. And like, you go, that can't just happen like that. Like, how it's like there's a poltergeist that's grabbing their arm and throwing the ball
the wrong direction.
Our catcher tried to throw to second base to catch a runner, you know, somebody trying to steal, and he threw it into left field, you guys.
Like, totally
left
into left field.
Like, not even close to second base, way over to the left field. So, and they're all like that.
I had to rewind that one and watch it again.
That's a poltergeist. That's like somebody grabbed his arm and threw it the wrong and made it go the wrong direction. Like, that can't even be for real. And there's been like five or six of those in the last couple of days. Don't you agree?
Oh, my God, yes. Because they're rookie, and I'm using air quotes.
If you want to see paranormal activity, turn on the Cubs. I'm telling you.
Oh, but you don't have much longer because they're playing. They're going to be playing
somebody
in the playoffs.
Give us. Yeah. Like, I just telling Carol tonight, I said, I don't even know why they spent the money to go on the trip, on the road trip.
They're playing the Braves right
home.
Now. Well, and then... I mean,
people
who don't like baseball, like, they're playing the top team in baseball. And I'm like, well, this isn't going to go well. And it hasn't. But I didn't think that paranormal plays would happen the way they're happening either.
Pop fly out to right field. He's standing there just waiting on it, you know.
Calls the other guy off.
And then the ball, he says, no, I got it. Totally mine, right? And then it just like kind of hits his glove and just rolls out.
Yeah. Well, and I had a really interesting conversation this week because remember when I talked about the guy I was going to interview that owns a haunted sanatorium, but he's a skeptic?
Yeah.
It was one of the most entertaining conversations I've ever had in my entire life.
I wondered why you'd even want to talk to him.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
God.
Why do you even
was
want
awesome.
To? He's a skeptic.
He is awesome.
I can't wait to hear that.
The guy was fantastic. And so he bought the Indiana State Sanatorium.
Okay.
200 acres, 120,000 square feet. There's multiple buildings on the property. So, I mean, this is a massive property.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because he is actually into science. So that's his problem. He's like, I need more of scientific evidence other than, well, that was weird, or I can't explain that. But he has definitely said, you know, owning this place, and he now owns more than one haunted location. But he's like, there's definitely things that he can't explain. And he said he definitely gets spooked out by things.
You know, and I like that fact that he admits that.
Oh,
yeah.
He was the most entertaining guy. And I've interviewed a lot of people in my years. It was funny because he's into kind of like, you know, Civil War reenactors. It's kind of the equivalent of that, but it's medieval. And so he goes, and he's like, you know, I think his family's got some money. He says, you know, let's just put it like this. I never grew up wondering where the next pizza was coming from. He literally said that. And so he's definitely show me the proof and then I'll believe it sort of guy. And so he'd been looking for a place where all these people, like he says, 1,500 of his best friends can come hang out. So his realtor said, man, maybe you should buy this property. And so he went and looked at it and he bought it. And so it's okay. So far out there, like they had their own electricity, they had their own water plant, everything. They were all self-sufficient because it was a tuberculosis hospital. So okay. You had to be self-sufficient because you didn't want, you know, people coming right. Back and forth. You know, the employees lived there. So there's all these houses and there's like a stately mansion on the ground. And so it went from the tuberculosis hospital to it was going to be a nursing home, but it ended up being a nursing home / kind of mentally ill home for the mentally ill, okay. Which really isn't okay. A great combination of people.
No,
so there was a lot of lack of care and that sort of thing. So they got shut down and it sat empty for 10 years. So he said, like, it is the creepiest place because when a lot of these tuberculosis patients came, they never knew if they were going home again. You don't know. That was deadly. And they would bring in these suitcases with pretty much all their valuables, everything they need. And then they would put the suitcases in this one huge room. He says, I've got 500 suitcases with people's most prized possessions in them. They're just there.
That's so sad.
Isn't that crazy? There's still clothes and drawers. There's pictures sitting out. There's dolls. There's all this stuff. It's just like they locked the doors and walked out one day. And so when he bought it, I said, are you changing any of that? He's like, nope, he's leaving it as it is. Then he realized before he'd even done anything with this, the building, Destination Fear with the Travel Channel, contacted him and they're like, hey, we want to come out and do an investigation. He's like, how do you know about me? They're like, we've been wanting to investigate that place for years. And then he realized he could make money just renting it out for paranormal investigations. So that's what he's been doing and then bought some other places. So that one is about, that's on the Grave Talks and that's the Indiana State Sanatorium. But it's just, he's a very interesting guy. And so I think it's really interesting when you are skeptical, but then you're dealing with paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's got to be hard to line that
up. That's interesting. Yeah.
I thought he'd be a good interview and I was not disappointed. He kept me very entertained. I think I asked 10 questions. So here is our first story. It says, hey there, been listening to your show for about 6 months and loving it. For some reason, being a little spooked helps me concentrate on my work as a graphics artist. Now, I'm an atheist and a skeptic, but up until about 6 years ago, I was a firm believer in the paranormal. Nowadays, I'm sure about the God thing, but the paranormal thing is in the I don't know area. That's interesting, because he or she just said, I'm an atheist and skeptic, and then said, now I'm sure about the God thing. So I'm not sure what this person is exactly.
I don't think that you can be an atheist and believe in God.
Maybe it says nowadays I'm not. Maybe it's supposed to say I'm not sure about the God thing, but the paranormal thing is nah, I don't know area. I don't know. That's interesting. Okay. So we'll continue.
Okay.
During those years, I had plenty of experiences that I still don't know the answer to. Most of them happened in my childhood home, a large house in the countryside, built in the 20s, I think. I almost always felt a presence and felt I was being watched, but some incidents stand out more. Okay, now this is really confusing because when you live in a place when you're a kid and you have paranormal experiences, I think sometimes some of us are just okay with saying, I don't have the answers for this. All I know is some weird shit happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, so, I mean, most of us are like that.
Yeah. But I think maybe some people need some kind of firm proof. I don't know.
You know, I have just, the older I get, the more I realize in life, there's probably just not a lot of firm proof.
Mm. And there's a whole lot out there we don't know.
There's just so much.
Yeah.
So much we don't know. And, you know, you either believe or you don't, whether it's religion or paranormal or, you know, it just, there's just, we don't get, it's not like a movie where you get an ending and a bow.
Right.
And you go home and it's with the end, you know, or whatever. Life just doesn't work that way.
No.
And every now and then I'm kind of I've been lucky in my life, and you probably have too, and a lot of our listeners probably have, where you did get an answer for something, you know, years later, you go, oh, well, that explained that whole thing, you know, or why somebody did what they did or whatever happened and you didn't know. And, you know, but later you found out, well, they didn't just, you know, walk away or dump you, that something happened and they couldn't come that day or whatever. You know, it's always, you go, oh, well, that makes a huge difference, you know, mm-hmm. to actually get an answer. But a lot of times we don't.
Well, back to the story. It okay, says sorry. The first incident I remember was when I was about 10. I was sitting on the sofa watching a movie, home alone because my parents were at a party. I was one of those kids who was quite happy being left to myself for a bit. Behind me were the doors to my and my sister's rooms facing each other. For some reason, I turned around to look in that direction. When I did, I saw a tall black shape moving from my room to hers. It had a long red face and the rest of it was black. I freaked out, this being only 5 or so feet from me. Oh my God, that's close.
Oh, yeah.
I spent the rest of the night hiding under a pillow, staring at the same movie for 6 hours. I never saw it again. Another time, on the same sofa, I was watching TV with my dog. When sitting on that sofa, you're facing the staircase coming up on your right, then the TV, then the staircase going up to the attic room to the left of the TV. Suddenly, my dog, a dachshund used for hunting, looked up with her ears in listening mode. She stared at the stairs, then seemed to follow something with her gaze all the way to the attic door. I called her name several times, but she refused to react. After staring at the attic door a few seconds, it opened on its own. That's when she reacted to me, wagging her tail like nothing had happened. You know, that doesn't seem paranormal necessarily until the attic door opened on its own.
Yeah. Now the attic door opened and the dog is okay with that.
Yeah.
That's weird. I would be surprised why the dog would be okay.
Maybe it wasn't a mean spirit. Maybe it was just like something that felt familiar to the dog.
Maybe.
I don't know. Once when I was about 12, I had spent the day with my granddad. He drove me home. It was dark. And when we were just about to approach the driveway to my house, we saw this figure in front of it. First, I thought if I should mention it to my granddad, but he came first by saying, "Who the hell is that?" Slowing the car down a bit, the figure stood right in front of our driveway, seemingly looking up at it. It was large, black, and had some white details on its garment. It seemed to have something large and white in front of it, but I couldn't really make out any face or features. It was super still and super weird. Driving up the driveway, I looked back and it was still there, still not moving an inch. When we got into our house, I peeked out and it was gone. Super weird. And that's the end of that story. So I don't know what the grandpa had to say. Yeah. I would think the grandpa would have been still bitching the whole way in the house. Why, there's somebody out there. Just doesn't seem like something your granddad would let go. Like, what is that? We gotta call the cops. I still lived there as a young adult. I had a job where I got off work at midnight, so I was home around 12:30-ish. I used to stay up for a bit, relaxing in my room on the second floor. My parents slept in the attic room, and my siblings didn't live there by then. This one night, I sat by my computer when I heard, clear as day, a flute on the bottom floor. It was so loud and so clear that I could hum the melody for a good few minutes afterwards. I'm a musician, and I know the difference between a digital sound, like a mobile phone, which my parents kept in their bedroom anyway, and an instrument. This was definitely a recorder flute. Oh, like the recorders.
Oh, yeah.
That definitely has a distinct sound.
It sure does.
In that house, I've experienced numerous smaller things, like seeing a pair of burned legs passing by my bedroom door. That's not a small thing.
No.
Lead with that story.
Yeah.
Oh, whew. And odd sounds. I have another longer story that I'll tell you some other time, but for now this will do. Still a skeptic. But these experiences still made a strong imprint on who I am. I really hope the spirit world is real, but my skeptic side is not quite letting me yet. Ha ha. Keep up the good work, Annie. That's so interesting to me.
I'm confused. I'm just confused that if you actually saw all these things, how are you a skeptic?
I'm with you. I don't understand that either.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Like, if you truly believe what you saw,
yeah,
then how could you not believe that there are paranormal things? You've had enough experiences. What is it that keeps you from believing those things that you saw? Or I guess I'm just a little, I need clarification on this. What about you?
Yes, because I think that there's so many things that happened that, you know, when we were kids, things happened. You couldn't explain any of the things that happened. And to this day, I can't explain that. You and I both have had multiple things happen as adults. I can't explain them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to be like, that doesn't exist.
I truly believe those things happened to me.
Yeah.
I can't explain them. It makes me believe that there must be more to this world than my little, you know, things that my little daily experiences. You know, I like partially believing in paranormal things because I think that expands our worldview. It says there are greater things. There are bigger things than just what's happening here. You know, there's more to this world. And I think that's a cool thing. You know, it's not just this mundane go to work, come home stuff. There's other stuff.
And you and I and everybody listening right now has heard the EVP that they're like, listen, it says close the door. And then you listen to it and like, I don't hear it. I don't know what they say. I hear something, but I'm not hearing close the door. Or the picture, it's like, see that thing in the window? And I'm like, I don't see the thing in the window. So,
not.
I mean, that's happened to all of us. Those things are different. But this is like, I saw burned legs.
Yeah, exactly. Or I saw this, you know, a shadow person walk five feet from
away.
Me.
Yeah.
You know, with a red face. Well, that's, you know, I don't know how you go, well, yeah, but I don't believe that.
Because maybe the recorder flute, maybe he didn't know. Maybe his dad has been playing the recorder flute in private, didn't realize the kid had come home from work yet. It is downstairs playing his recorder flute.
I would say that if there is anything that would be like suggestive of demonic stuff, it's a recorder flute. Oh my God. If I have to hear a recorder flute one more time, because I am in fine arts and we're always in with the music department. And at some point, those music appreciation kids all have to play recorders for a little test. So they're all out in the hall practicing Row, Row, Row Your Boat or, you know, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star or something like that, you know. So, yeah, that is kind of part that I can envision that being part of hell. That might have been the most demonic thing that she brought up.
Exactly. And then she's like, oh, anyways.
Well, I don't like you talking about recorder flutes. That's freaking haunted shit.
The devil himself playing the damn recorder flute.
My God, recorder flute.
So I don't know. I don't totally understand. I don't, and maybe I would actually like someone to write or call in and kind of explain, you know, from that perspective.
The
explanation to that would be I'm having some mental health issues.
I guess.
You know, I don't know. I don't know how else you would explain it. Okay, let's do another story. Let's go.
Okay.
Hi, this is Dawn in Arkansas, and I am a new listener. I've only been listening for a couple days, but I have a little story to share. I sold a house I lived in for 5 years, a couple years ago, and the whole time I lived in that house, it was pretty new. It was built in 2001. I've just had these weird experiences, and since then I've had my friend who's a lawyer, do some research, go back and search all the files and try to see if anything happened there in the house or on the land that the subdivision was built in the history or anything. And she never could find anything. But anyways, this house, I always felt like I was a followed by a man. I always felt his presence behind me. Always felt like it was a man. I would turn, see him out of the corner of my eye, the shadow, just all the time. And it was irritating more than anything. I have four kids. I'm very busy. My youngest is 3. My oldest is 15. So craziness in our house all the time. So I just wrote off everything, just ignored it, you know, just, you know, whatever. I'm seeing things, et cetera, et cetera. One day I was standing at the kitchen window watching my kids in the swimming pool. And I remember I felt him behind me, and I never felt threatened or like he would hurt me or anything like that. It was just an irritating presence. Just always there, just irritating me. And so I was standing there watching my kids, and I remember him feeling him behind me. And I was just like, if I turn around right now, I'm going to see him. I'm finally going to see this thing, person, whatever, that has followed me around for years. I lived there 5 years. So this is about the 3-year mark. And I was just like, finally, I'm going to see him. So I turn around, fully expecting to see who has been following me for 3 years at that point. So I turn around, and there's nothing. And I was irritated. I was like, look, dude, just leave me alone. Just go on. You know, I'm tired of you following me around. I'm just sick of it. And one night, my 11-year-old came to me. At the time, he was about 8. And he was like, Mom, we were all upstairs. And he was downstairs by himself, and he was in the formal dining room. He said, Mom, there's a man downstairs in the formal dining room. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, Mom. He's like, I was standing there talking to him. I thought it was Brayden. Robbie, my oldest son, he was like, he had his back to me. I was talking to him, and he said, then I come upstairs, and Robbie's in his room. So who is the man in the formal dining room? And I was just like, oh, you know, it's your imagination. My kids are really scary, and they, if something spooks them, they're liable to sleep in my bed for the next 6 months because they're terrified to sleep in their own rooms. So I just, you know, just, oh, it's just your vision playing tricks on you. Nothing, no big deal. Well, I remember the next day after they went to school, I went downstairs and I was mad. And I was like, look, you can follow me around all day. You can irritate me. Just let my kids out of it, right? Just leave them alone. And if you're going to show yourself to me, not my kids. Just leave my kids out of it. Well, I would go for a few months and I wouldn't see him or sense him behind me. And one night my daughter woke up and she said something. I just put her back to bed. And the next morning I was getting her ready for school. She slept in our room at the time, in our sitting area, on a couch. And she had all her blankets, all just so, she'd fold them just so, and stack them next to her little couch. And at the time, she was only like 4 years old. And but she likes everything just so. And I was getting her ready for preschool, and she was like, Mom, there is an old lady in your room last night. And I was like, what? And she was like this play old lady with lots of wrinkles and this big old dress. She walked in the door and she came over to me and she got her finger and did this and tried to get me to go with her. But I wouldn't. And I was like, oh, you know, it's a dream, baby. Nothing. And she said, no, Mom, look. And she stacked some of her little blankets next to the couch. And they had gotten messed up. And she said, look, Mama, I had them folded, and she messed them up. She stood right there on my little blanket, and she messed it up. And she did sit down and get your blankets all fixed back the way they were. And that kind of scared me because it was my kid. She was trying to get my kid to go with her. So I just acted like it was nothing to her. But that day, after they went to school, once again, I was like, look, do what you want to me, but leave my kids out of it. You know, stop, leave my kids alone, whoever you are, whatever you're doing. Well, we never heard anything else about that. My son, the one that saw the man in the dining room, he did a lot of sleepwalking in that house. He would sleepwalk, he would talk in his sleep, like, all the time. And one night I had heard a noise and I went out on our little banister balcony upstairs. You could see down into our foyer and he was in front of our door walking back and forth. And that scared me because I was afraid he could have opened the door and just walked out. We'd never know. I hadn't set the alarm that night. So went down, he was just talking away to somebody and he doesn't even see me. He doesn't even know I'm there. I just, you know, getting him and walking back, putting him back to bed. Well, we sold that house like 2 years ago. And my friend, who was my neighbor, we're still friends. And she called me a while back. And she said, I have a story to tell you. My daughter always slept in our room. She never slept in her room. But for whatever reason, my 11-year-old went through a period of sleeping in her room. Don't know why. He just wanted to sleep in her room. So my friend told me we had sold the house to a family. They had a family emergency. They had to move to California. And while their house was on the market again, they were renting it to a friend they still had that lived here in town. So that the new people they were renting it to, she came over to my neighbor a couple weeks ago and said, I need to talk to you about something. And my friend was like, okay. She was like, any history with this house that you could tell me. And my friend was like, well, the people who you're renting it from, they had a couple of experiences like with slamming doors and a little girl talking in the upstairs bedroom, the front bedroom, which is my daughter's room. And the people who live there, who they bought it from, they had four kids and their kids talked about hearing things, seeing things. And I didn't know this, but my son had told my neighbor at that time that he had sat on the stairs and talked to a little girl. Well, whenever my son, his name is Brayden, whenever my friend Laurie told the neighbor that, she said, you know, their son Brayden said he talked to a little girl. The neighbor, she just turned white. And she grabbed her arm and she was like, who did you just say? And my friend was like, your son, Brayden. And she said, she got her phone out real fast and she went to her notes and she said, look at his name right here. It's Brayden. She said, I went to sleep in that bed last night and she was sick and wanted to sleep up there in that bed to keep her husband from staying awake with her all night. And she said, I went to sleep and I woke up and a little girl was talking to me. I could hear a little girl's voice. And she said, she kept saying, no one will talk to me. No one will talk to me. The only person who has ever talked to me is Brayden. Brayden is the only person who would talk to me. And which was my son. So anyways, that was a real... This lady didn't even know my son, didn't know the name. She's like, I never heard the name Brayden. That's why she said that's why I put it in my phone. Like I said, my friend did some research. No research, no history of an old a man, a woman, a little girl. You don't know when that happened. Maybe way back in history at some point. But anyways, kind of scared me, her talking about my son. And knowing that at that time, my son did a lot of sleepwalking and talking in his sleep. But anyways, that's my story. Thanks. Love your show.
So what do you think about all that? That's a lot of hauntings in one house.
That is, because we had the man, she felt the man's presence. And then there was an old lady. And then the little girl that we didn't even know about till after they moved out.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, one thing I found interesting about that is that towards the beginning of that story, she felt the presence, but I don't think she ever really thought anybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I'm kind of thinking that they never had that conversation because the one kid's like, I saw the man, and she's like, that's your imagination. But she's seeing things or feeling things. And then she said the kids were always scared and didn't want to sleep in their beds because they're experiencing it too.
Well, yeah, but, you know, as a parent, you're going to go, oh, honey, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, no, that's not. No, there's not
right.
a man
you don't
here.
Want, you don't want to scare your kids and go, that was just a ghost man that you were talking to downstairs.
Right. So you don't want to do that. So, you know, she's just trying to protect the kids, I think, as best as she can.
But I think at the beginning, it kind of felt to me like she thought it was just happening to her. And, you know, maybe the kids weren't acting like anything weird was going on.
Well,
but it sounds
the little
like
girl
all of
told
them.
Her about her blankets and the old lady coming.
Yeah.
And so then I think she did think the kids did, because then after the kids went to school, she talked to him and she said, you do what you want to me, but you leave my kids out of this.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just like, that's a really, really haunted house.
Oh my gosh. I guess.
And once again, I think that we frequently want the answer. Okay. So who is it that died in this house? Obviously, it was the man, an old lady, and a child. And it's not always that simple to figure that out. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, there was this horrible thing that happened here, and that might explain it. But you don't always get those answers. Sometimes places are just haunted AF, and you have no idea why.
Exactly. And, you know, we never, and like we always say, you never know what happened on that land before something was built. So you just don't know why, whether those entities came with someone who first lived there and then stayed. You know, who knows?
But she didn't say anything about her new house feeling like that. So it sounds like, I'm assuming that that stayed where it was, did not follow them anywhere, which is good. You've got kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But it stayed
there because it seemed to be bothering other people, too.
Like that, because it's dark now. It's like 9 o'clock at night as we're recording this. And so I'm sitting here and I'm getting a little creeped out listening to that. And I'm like, oh, my God, something is staring at me. And then I turn around and it's my cat.
Oh, good. Okay, well, that's a cute something to
stare. Feeling something is staring at me. Oh, hi, Rizzo. That was just so, that was creepy.
That was a scary story.
Stories like that are what makes it hard when we do these at night.
Yeah.
Because you know me, I'm the biggest wuss of them all. So if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also get commercial-free versions of the show. And with that, you'll get advanced episodes, access to the archive. Just become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts, through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.